Thanks for listening to the best of Outkick the Coverage podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the Coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the best of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis on Fox Sports Radio.
Clay Travis not available in any area. He is in London. He will be back on Monday. I'll be in for him on Wednesday. Thanks to Jeff Schwartz for helping me out yesterday. Today, I think they call him the Prince of Darkness. Jonas Knox at the Jonas Knox on Twitter, where he loves to inhabit the social media realm, as we have discussed on this show previously. Jonas, what's up, man? I know you hate it just like I do.
Well, it's just the insincere, phony garbage that people spew out on social media, whether it's that or Instagram, Twitter, whatever the hell it is. But I have a question for you. Why is Clay in London? Are the Titans playing an early exhibition game out there? What the hell has he got going on in London?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I didn't know where he was going until he sent me a text message two nights ago. And he's like, hey, just heard you on your show in Nashville. That'd be a good topic for you tomorrow morning. I'm on my way to London. Good luck. Have fun with it. And I'm just like, I didn't even know where he was going. I just knew he was out for the rest of the week.
Yeah, I've never been to London, but the only thing I think it seems really dark, really gray. I've heard the food is atrocious. And then I know they play NFL games there. That's all I got.
Yeah, well. Well, until you got to that last sentence, you were defining Kyle Lowry's effort last night.
Oh, geez. Come on. Do you have to take the guy out this early in the show? He got hit in the nuts intentionally by Ben Simmons. I mean, I think we can cut him a little bit of slack here.
Well, if I hadn't watched every other playoff game that he's played in his career, maybe I could give him some. But he was 2 of 10 last night for 7 whole points. My favorite part of last night's game had to be Kyle Lowry telling ESPN after the ball game, quote, I'm not helping him enough, meaning Kawhi Leonard. You're not, Kyle? We didn't notice with your 7-point 2-for-10 effort. Yes, he definitely got, I don't know, I was surprised Chris Paul had not like put on a Ben Simmons jersey based on that, but I saw some people that work at this network, I'm not going to call them out by name, Jason McIntyre, who suggested that Kyle Lowry flopped and wasn't actually hit last night.
Any guy can speak on this. You don't need a direct shot to the nuts.
No.
For it to affect your entire body. All right, it can be a glancing blow. Sometimes the one nut shot as opposed to both of them hurts more than actually hitting both of them. So I'm not willing to go there. I have no idea whether or not he got a direct shot or a glancing shot. Bottom line is, it'll get the job done no matter what. But I do like that you've exposed Jason McIntyre for trying to stir up a conspiracy theory.
Yeah, I liked it. I like Jason McIntyre a lot, but he was going there, and maybe he was just trying to troll some people last night. I mean, you can look at mine the wrong way and it's going to knock me down. Like, I'm going to hit the ground just like Kyle Lowry did. Now, Kyle Lowry, if you saw this, he did go down as if napalm had just hit the ground. Like, I mean, this was war zone level stuff. This was not just bend over, hold on to it for a bit. No, my man took a pro wrestling bump into the ground to sell this. So Ben Simmons clearly caught him, well, in the Kyle Lowry's, because that was about what Kyle Lowry was able to offer you last night. The Sixers look pretty good. That's my expert analysis off the top of this show today, is that the Sixers and Joel Embiid looked very good. So good, in fact, that Mark Jackson said it would be a crime if Joel Embiid doesn't go down as one of the greatest big men in the history of the NBA.
Well, it's on him then. I mean, because the only issue he's got is health. And the more you hear about Joel Embiid, the more you start to hear about, well, maybe he doesn't take his diet all that seriously. Maybe he doesn't work as hard as some other guys do. Gifted player, talented player. But I've heard, I know Kendrick Perkins talked about it on Fox Sports 1, former NBA center / power forward. And he said, look, I should have done what Joel Embiid is going to be told to do, and that's drop the weight in your career, because he's got constant issues, nagging issues, constant treatment during the day. He's got tendonitis. I guess he gets 5-6 different treatments during the course of the day. At some point, you've got to figure out how do I last in this league, and if it means cutting down the calories and eating a little better and taking care of your body, then you do it. Because he's also got this weird thing to where if he misses a couple of games, when he comes back, he looks fatigued early. His cardio, his gas tank, it just diminishes significantly. So if you're Joel Embiid, the next step of your career is figuring out your diet and your fitness, and then this guy could really go down as a great player, if not an all-time great player.
The real difference over the past two games, at least from my vantage point watching, is Jimmy Butler really starting to emerge. It's like he is ready all of a sudden to step in and be the second best player on this team. With all due respect to Ben Simmons, Ben Simmons offensively is a liability often for the Philadelphia 76ers on the floor. Last night he gives you 10 points. He does give you 7 assists, and he's good at a lot of things. He gave you 7 rebounds as well. But there are many games where he's not going to get into double figures because his game is only good from about 5 feet in. Like, he has no 10-footer, he has no 15-footer, he's not good from the free-throw line, he didn't even take a free-throw last night. In fact, Embiid was 12 of 13 from the line, Butler was 3 of 3, nobody shot more than 3 other than Embiid's 13. So this was a one-man wrecking crew. I saw Tim Legler say this right after the game. This was the most dominant single performance we've seen from a physical standpoint, considering the opponent in the playoffs so far. Which I guess is basically saying that the Thunder were not that great an opponent when Dame dropped 50 on them
right, to
knock Oklahoma City out last week. Toronto looks an awful lot, Jonas, like the old Toronto. And I think that, honestly, if you want to point the blame, point it exactly where he pointed it. It's Kyle Lowry. This is what we've seen, right?
Kyle Lowry's got this weird thing to where he gets to the postseason. Because I think Kyle Lowry is a good player. I really do. I think he's a good player. He puts up numbers during the course of the regular season. But there's something mental that goes on with him. Anybody that's got to get all those shots up. I remember a year ago, he was, you know, after games, he was trying to get shots up, just trying to figure it out, looking for some sort of an answer. It's almost like he's got the yips when the postseason hits. And because of it, Toronto suffers. And they thought, okay, we'll bring in – I mean, look, Kawhi Leonard is an upgrade over DeMar DeRozan. I like DeMar DeRozan, but Kawhi Leonard's a significant upgrade over DeMar DeRozan. But the problem still exists because Kyle Lowry, for some reason, gets to the postseason and can't figure it out.
Yeah, and it's usually off and on. Like, when you get an on night, he'll give you 20. And then you'll get an off night right after it, and he goes 2 for 10. And he takes 10 shots to give you 7 total points in the game. Like, he actively hurt you. His plus-minus rating last night was a minus 28 on the floor. I don't even know what exactly that means because, again, I don't do math for a living. I try to avoid it at all costs, but that doesn't sound good to me. In fact, Gasol was a minus 26. Siakam was a minus 18. Leonard was a minus 11, but I'm not giving any disrespect to Kawhi Leonard based on what I saw, him keeping them in the ballgame over and over until finally that explosion late, which... This was a 21-point win that looked like it was about a 40-point win.
You know,
the way that the Sixers took off.
You know, it might be kind of a fun exercise during the course of the show. What would be considered a minus 28 at your job? All right, because for us doing sports radio, a minus 28 is if we did 2 segments in a row on the Stanley Cup playoffs and then broke down bullpens in the National League. All right, that would be a minus 28.
No, middle relievers, not bullpens.
Yeah,
middle relievers.
Yeah, that's fair. But if we were to go around the country, if people were to call in and say, all right, here's what I do for a living. This is the equivalent to my minus 28 for Kyle Lowry. That would be fascinating. A construction guy who takes a nail gun to his boss's tires. I mean, all sorts of possibilities for what people would consider a minus 28 at their work environment.
877-99 on Fox. That's 877-996-6369. I enjoy the idea of that exercise on its premise. If you don't call us, we're just going to start making up jobs and getting there at some point in this game. But yes, a minus 28 does not sound particularly ideal at all. And I love that you just exposed the radio secret. We do that a lot where it's like, yeah, we're going to talk NHL for this first hour. Then we're going to talk nothing but middle relief in the second hour. Yeah. I'm trying to think how it could actually get worse. How do you go from a minus 28 to a minus 50? Other than RJ Bell trying to pronounce Targaryen, which I don't know if you've heard yet, but
I haven't. I'm on that show. He said it was so bad. He was so bad at pronouncing Targaryen. I thought he was saying Tyrion. I swear to God, on the show, I corrected him and said, no, you mean Tyrion Lannister. And then he did it again, and I thought it was like he was referencing some dinosaur that I'd never heard of. But no, it was a Daenerys Targaryen. So
yeah, no, it really wasn't. All I know about that situation is I made the executive decision, even though my show is barely out of the gates, that's a drop. RJ Bell's a drop on my Sunday morning Fox Sports radio show.
It has to happen.
Because it's never not great. Like, we have to find it just so the OutKick audience can hear it. I love RJ. I've never met him before, but I love his show. But Tara Guerra Ryan is on the list of one of the greatest things I've ever heard.
Let me tell you, you'll figure this out. As I've been at
Tara Guerra Ryan.
Yes,
I've been at Fox Sports Radio coming up on a decade. And here's the one thing you will figure out: the sick bastards that work here behind the scenes are waiting for a screw up. And once you screw up, that will be played for the next 10 years on the network. There are people that have not worked here for 7 or 8 years that were here when I first started, and their F-ups and their drops are played on this network constantly.
You're scared, Cole.
Yeah, like stuff like that. I do a Nicole Kidman impersonation off Days of Thunder, and for some reason that got tagged.
Wow.
They F-8ed it on Adobe Edition, and now they're playing it nationwide.
How do we feel about Days of Thunder? I think it's an underrated sports film.
I love it. That and Backdraft are two poorly done movies that I cannot get enough of. Backdraft gets me every single time. Backdraft and Days of Thunder, if they're on, that's my Shawshank.
I mean, Cole Trickle and Rusty Wheeler and Robert Duvall just facial emoting.
Yeah, and the wheelchair race through the hospital, which is one of the worst scenes in the history of television, just doesn't make any sense at all. Not realistic. Crashing rental cars, getting to dinner. Just the whole movie, when you look back on, you go, well, that doesn't make any sense whatsoever. But for some reason, you still watch it and kind of just go through the motions because you realize what I'm watching is probably awful, but to me, it was great when I was younger, so you just take it all in.
What's amazing is you said worst in the history of TV, and that's actually accurate because no one's actually seen Days of Thunder at the film. Like, they've never seen it at a movie theater before. You've always seen bits and pieces when you can't find your television remote.
If they did one of those special releases where they did Days of Thunder back in a theater somewhere, I swear to Christ I would go. I would go.
I've seen it. I saw it at the theater, Jonas.
Oh, my God. See, you are so lucky, man, because I had to deal with standard def television, which is just nails on a chalkboard. It's torture. I dealt with standard def, and I had to watch that Mellow Yellow, Wheeler. And then who was the guy that he raced for at the end?
Now you've gone too deep for me.
Okay, no, but the guy that was racing in the wheelchair before it was Rusty Wheeler.
Cole Trickle's main guy.
Yeah, and Rusty Wheeler and the guy that he was racing in the wheelchair. I forget, Rowdy Burns.
Bam! Oh, yeah, got Michael it. Rooker. Michael Rooker.
Rowdy Burns. That's what I'm talking about,
man. You know what's awesome about Days of Thunder is since I grew up in the Carolinas, the amusement park down in Charlotte, Carowinds, had a Days of Thunder ride. It was one of the most popular rides when it first started, and it was just virtual reality. You went into a theater, and it was like, you're going to be in a NASCAR. But not only are you going to be in a NASCAR, you're going to be Cole Trickle in a NASCAR car. And then it takes you into the film as if you're behind the wheel of whatever car it was Cole Trickle was rolling at the end of that film. You get wrecked in that thing. This was amazing.
And look, I'm not afraid to burn a few bridges here on Fox Sports Radio. I'll tell you this right now. The Rocky theme song, a lot of people think that's inspirational. Chariots of Fire. The final theme song on Days of Thunder where he's racing, is it Robert Duvall?
Harry Hogg, man.
Yeah, when he's racing Harry at the race, I'm telling you, that's the most inspirational music. Throw that on when you're doing squats at the gym and tell me you don't blow through that workout here in Days of Thunder.
I see Dub Yarbrough taking phone calls, 877-996-6369. We're gonna see what a -28 is going to look like in people's jobs.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
He's Jonas Knox. I'm Jason Martin. Crew with us. Clay Travis is in London across the pond. He'll be back on Monday. I don't know why he's in London. He's still muted on Twitter by me, so I don't really actually see his updates. This is not a new thing either, Jonas. This has been going on for quite some time.
And now you guys are close.
Yeah, we're friends.
You work together, and you mute him on Twitter.
Yeah, I just don't need to see his nonsense.
Okay. I mean, I don't want to dive any deep. I mean, I do want to dive deeper into that, but I don't want to. Cause more of a. Okay, what's the problem here? Let's have a conversation here. What is the problem? Why don't you like to hear Clay Travis or see his nonsense? What about what he says is nonsense?
I don't know. He tweets too much. He claims I tweet a lot. I don't think that's true. I'll get into a tweet storm where I'll do it for a little while, and then I'll disappear for days at a time. But the way he interacts with other people, that's the thing that, like, I see a lot of folks on Twitter that can't handle the dude with the balloon or the egg as his avatar coming after him with his one follower. And then they have to, like, quote tweet that guy and try to bury that guy. That's not really what Clay does. I don't know. Sometimes I want to see what Clay has to say. Sometimes I don't. And usually somebody else mentions things that are relevant to me that Clay says and puts those into my timeline on, like, tweet quotes or retweets or whatever. I don't know. It would be awesome if Twitter didn't exist.
My favorite quote retweet moment from Clay Travis is when, I don't even remember, it was somebody responding to a tweet. So it was two other people that were involved. It had nothing to do with Clay, but he liked what the other person wrote back to the person who sent the original tweet, and Clay just wrote a quote retweet that all it said was fatality. Just fatality. And I remember seeing that and going, that's really funny. I like that.
No, that's pretty good. Yeah. I mean, Mortal Kombat 11 just came out like 2 weeks ago. That's apparently still a thing that people are doing. It's also possible that I'm not telling you the truth and that this bit... Actually, you know what? I am telling you the truth, but at this point, it's more just funny to me that he's muted on my Twitter. It's like a personal inside joke that no one else finds amusing but me. But that's just the way that I roll, guess, sometimes.
Hey, you got to flex a little bit sometimes.
I guess. 877-996-6369 if you want to join us. We got three phone calls. We're going to take those. I've got to read this Wikipedia plot for Days of Thunder because it's better than talking about anything regarding hockey on this show. We're going to have John Morosi next hour. We're going to talk some baseball with him, obviously. There was one playoff game last night. There are two tonight. We will preview those. We will talk a little bit of NFL as well. The Tyreek Hill story continues to, I don't know, all of a sudden text messages are coming out that don't sound like things human beings say to one another. So we will discuss that in some level of nuance. That'll take us in a different direction. But let's go to Nolan in Buffalo, who waited patiently through the break. I don't know what you do for a living, Nolan, but what do you have for us today?
Hey, J-Mart.
Hey, man.
Good to hear from you, man.
You too.
First thing I was going to say is it's too bad that this isn't minus 128, or you'd have probably a good story for us. Sorry, that was a little cruel, but I do wish you the best. I'm glad to hear you're doing well. But I'm a dentist, so for me, my -28 would be pulling the wrong tooth, which I've never done, but you would be shocked at how often that happens.
All right, so what is the worst thing you have done in your job? And when you said -128, what were you talking about just now?
I'm talking about you losing weight, man.
Oh, man, I appreciate you. Thank you for that.
That's a good thing.
I'm happy for you, man. I'm real proud of you.
It would now be like 185, but yes.
Holy sugar, I can't say. Well, yeah,
you're about to go -28 as a caller. But so what is the worst thing you have actually done in your job? We're not gonna, you can use a false name, even though I've already called your name twice.
You know, I'm pretty careful. The worst thing I've done in my job is probably just like a small error, like doing a root canal and just make a little mistake, drill a little too far, and do something we call like perforate a tooth. And I'll tell you that, like, I didn't sleep well for weeks after that, but, helped the patient out, made sure that they were careful and got it all fixed up. But just like small little damages like that, I can't say I've done anything too crazy.
You ever had one too many cocktails the night before a big day at the office?
I don't have a good story for you for that, but I do know a lot of colleagues that, have done some raunchy things accidentally, nobody
nitrous.
Does it out of- I use a lot of nitrous, but never had anything go wrong. Oh, I do know a guy. I remember in dental school, there was a guy that came and talked to us our first week there, and scared the living daylights out of us. And he just said he had gotten severely addicted to nitrous. And he was like, every day in his office, the whole staff would leave at the end of the day, and he would just comatose himself. And one day, finally, he like didn't wake up. And, he was fortunate that an assistant came back into the office, found him lying on the floor, and you know, called for paramedics, and they were able to rescue him. And at that point, he lost his license. And but did you, hey, look this up, and everybody, all listeners, look this up. This is a true story. So I actually work in North Carolina now, but there's an oral surgeon in North Carolina that did something that I cannot talk about on the radio.
No.
So look up Wilmington, North Carolina oral surgeon, and it will absolutely blow your mind. And that's minus a million.
And so guy, are you in Wilmington?
I'm actually in Wilmington now, but I was always Nolan in Buffalo because that's where I went to school and called in originally. So I just stick with that.
Wilmington's a beautiful place.
Yeah, man. Just bought a house. Real happy.
Nice. All right, Nolan. We appreciate it, man. Enjoy your Friday.
All right, take care. Thanks. Have a good day, guys.
That is quite a phone call, first of all. Like, we went from the guy who had excrement going into a pharmacy to a dentist who was very, very cautious but also gave us good stories.
Yeah.
That is running the gamut right there.
And look, I asked the question, and he was very smart to avoid the question answering it. Because anybody, I don't care who you are, at some point or another, you've come into work not feeling the best because maybe you had one too many drinks at happy hour the night before if you work a normal job. Now, that would be impossible working in 24/7 sports radio because sometimes we work really bizarre hours. So we're just trying to catch a nap, let alone go out and tear one off one night. But I wonder how many dentists or physicians or people out there, like, do they give you a breathalyzer when you come in? Have you had anything to drink? I mean, I don't think they go to that extent. And who knows, you know, who's operating on you. I'm not trying to scare anybody out there, but I just wonder if there is that possibility that somebody out there gets after it a little bit at a holiday party and they've got to go perform a surgery the next day.
That's more of an ignorance is bliss kind of thing. I'd rather just not know in some ways, or even thinking about it. That's a little bit frightening. Hey, Jay in Indiana, I think, might actually want to talk sports. Jay, what's up, man? Jay, you with us? This is a minus 28 on this phone call right now. Going once, going twice, going 28. Bye. Aaron in Tennessee, up next. Aaron, what's up?
Hey, I just wanted to say that enjoy listening to you guys. I listen to you all the time, and it's cool to have Coop on there because it reminds me of my wife and I's first date. We had met the night before at a club, and we went and saw Liar Liar. And then roughly a month and a half later, we were married. And come July 11th, we'll have been married 22 years.
Wow. You're welcome.
All right.
And I want to say this. So you want to know how you pull a negative 28 for a honeymoon? I actually did it. Our honeymoon was the drive-in movie theater to see Con Air. So
that's a great honeymoon.
I have the true negative 28 for honeymoons. I was getting ready to go on float. I was in the Marine Corps, so that was all we could do. So
that movie
definitely
sucks.
A negative 28.
Con Air is trash.
No, I was talking
about you've been married 22 years. Oh yeah, we're still talking about Liar.
Liar blows the doors off Con Air. Con Air stinks.
Appreciate it, guys.
Con Air is one of those Nick Cage films,
man.
That's so Nick Cage it hurts. Like, what are in the Nick Cage rankings of Nick Cage-ishness? I guess you've got like Con Air and The Wicker Man.
Oh, The Wicker Man is by far the worst movie I've ever seen in my life. But I think we've actually had this discussion on the air before, Jason, about the best worst movies of all time.
Yes.
And I think that's Con Air. Like, it's so bad that it's great.
What about Face Off?
Oh my god.
That's
atrocious, man. and how about Coop? Does that guy saw you? You're the reason that guy got married. They were so blown away by that family dynamic and Jim Carrey doing the claw to Justin Cooper that they thought, you know what, let's have a family. That little kid right there made us want to have a family. Little did they realize that little kid would grow up to be a degenerate pothead.
A monster.
They had no idea.
Also, there's a tie-in because Cary Elwes was in both Liar Liar and Days of Thunder.
He was. That's true.
Just to put that out there. Art in California joins us next. Art in Cali, what's up, man? Oh, that's just a good start.
How you doing?
Hey, buddy.
Hey,
how are you?
Yeah, from Fresno. Hey, ex-cop. One club here in Fresno near the airport, they had 50-cent drinks. All you could drink, anything you wanted, till 9 o'clock. So I lubed up, and I was pretty jacked up. I had a Firebird Trans Am. And I remembered I had to go be in San Jose, which is 160 miles away at 11 o'clock to start my shift. I haul ass over there, going over Pacheco Pass. Any Garcia knows the route. Anyway, so I get over there, and I go straight to the locker room, pick up my briefing papers, get into uniform. I said, man, I gotta do something. So I go out, and I pull over this guy, the Mustang, and I think he's leaving. I think he's drunk. I pull him over, start talking to him and stuff. He gets out. He said, so what'd you pull me over? I said, you're leaving. I think you're drunk. You don't have anything to drink? He said, I'm not drunk. He said, you are. And, you know, I gave him a couple of sobriety tests. I said, you know what? I have the flu, man. I think what you're smelling is my Vicks Formula 44. Anyway, have a good day, sir, and I will catch you later.
Art, are you a former cop because of the incident you just described?
No. I retired. I did a good job. I got a lot of child molesters, drug dealers, heroin dealers, and two murderers. So I put in my good work.
Well, first off, thanks for your service.
Yeah,
I mean that's super impressive, and that's quite a story as well. Have yourself a good day. Wow.
By the way, Eddie Garcia, who went to Fresno State, are you familiar with the bar that served 50 cent beers, Eddie?
I'm familiar with City Lights.
Oh man!
Oh, you knew it by name.
Now, is that the bar, Eddie, you were drinking at the first night you met your wife?
No,
and you were throwing up over the balcony?
I was living in L.A. back then.
All right, sorry. Got him confused.
Jay in Indiana joins us next here on Outkick. Jay, how are you today?
Good. Hey, Jay, Jason, and Jonas, you guys are two of my favorite. Jay Money, appreciate you guys.
Thank you.
My negative 28 goes to my girlfriend, my hopefully fiance. When we have a good night out, and well, she's specking a plus 28 to an hour, when I'm going to go negative 28 to 2 minutes.
I don't know what was just said. try to explain that a little. Just run that by me one more time, Jay.
We're liking it to, you ever see, you know, Friday and Chris Tucker?
Yes.
Negative 28. Give me 2 minutes, maybe even four.
Ah, yes. Okay.
But I appreciate you guys. On that same lines, man, God bless Chicago Cubs middle relief. Help us all.
Well, man, you're stealing our thunder. We're going to talk about middle relief for the Cubs in hour three.
I thought we were doing that hour four. Are we doing that hour three?
Yeah, okay. We're in hour five, actually. Okay, good, I think that's a little bit later on in the program. Let's go to Joe in Ohio before we get a break. Joe, what's up?
Yeah, me and my wife, I got a negative 28 for you.
Nice.
Me and my wife. Got married back in 2013. We picked our wedding song, and she wanted to change it. And I was like, "No, we're not going to go back and forth and change it." So, anyways, without her knowing, I kind of changed my mind. I was like, "Oh, I'm going to surprise her. I'm going to change the wedding song without telling her."
Nice call.
So yeah. So I changed the wedding song. She didn't know it. We go out there. We start dancing. The wedding song comes on. She doesn't notice at first. I'm like, aren't you listening? And she's like, wait, isn't this our song? And then she realizes, you changed our wedding song. She didn't like it. It didn't go over too well.
Yeah, you surprised her and changed something for the wedding. The wedding's kind of for her more than it's for you. Are you going to tell us what the song was and what it became, at least, so we can hear, I don't know, Apple Bottom Jeans was what you ended up changing it to? What was it?
I Don't Give Up On Us song came out during that time. Everybody loved the song. I don't even know who the hell sings it. But, you know, we changed it. We picked the Coldplay song. I thought it would be romantic. Oh, changed the song. It really didn't go over
what
too well.
What was the Coldplay song?
The Scientist.
Okay.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
A scientist. Good song. So, I don't know if I want to dance to it, though.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think you want to change, like, wedding plans. And hey, surprise, I changed everything on you, honey.
And by the way, I looked up City Lights, caller referenced City Lights, the cop, because they had 50 cent beers, and then Eddie Garcia's heard of City Lights in Fresno, and I'm just going to read the first Yelp review to you, and I want you to try and guess what City Lights is. Okay, what kind of bar City Lights is? Quote, Aubrey is my fave. She's my favorite one. Sexy, sweet, and nice bleeps. Plus, she's got an awesome personality. My boyfriend and I come here just for her. Now, what sort of bar establishment do you think City Lights is after hearing that in Fresno, Jason Martin?
It sounds like someone is performing on a stage.
Mm-hmm.
That would be, perhaps there's a pole there.
Mm-hmm. You're very well versed in the Gentlemen's Club in Fresno. Yes, that's right. City Lights is a gentlemen's club in Fresno. Eddie Garcia, round of applause for showcasing some of your past experiences while living in Fresno. Job well done.
You're welcome.
What else are you going to do in Fresno? You're going to go to City Lights.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
Clay's back on Monday. He'll be available then. Jonas Knox is available today. He's out in Los Angeles. I'm available. I'm in Nashville. I'm Jason Martin. He's at the Jonas Knox. I'm at J-Mart Zone. Roberto Flores, Eddie Garcia, Justin Cooper, Coop DeLoop in today, and Dub Yarbrough with me. They complete the quartet, spinning the dials radio style for us. And we've been taking a whole lot of phone calls today, because Kyle Lowry was awful last night. And sometimes organic things are the best. And he was a minus 28 in the plus-minus rating last night. Scored all of 7 points on 10 shots. I don't know exactly how you accomplish that, but Kyle Lowry did it. And I'm sure he's probably done it at other times in his career. So I thought during the last break, I was just like, what's the worst plus-minus in playoff history? I thought maybe this would be difficult to find. But guess what? The internet. Andre Drummond, and this happened this year as well. Remember when the Pistons were in the playoffs?
Yeah.
That was hilarious.
It was
Andre
like the,
Drummond.
Late 80s, right?
Yeah, it was actually 19 days ago.
Oh, okay.
Andre Drummond had a flagrant two, got ejected in one of these games. He only played 26 minutes. His plus minus was a minus 45.
All right.
Draymond Green in second place at minus 43. I'm not sure which game that was, but it probably involves something in someone's genitalia.
Yeah. By the way, Jason McIntyre, and you pointed this out earlier, saying that he thought Kyle Lowry flopped when he got hit in the balls. Hey, McIntyre, where do you think balls are? In the middle of your chest? Like, what are we talking about? Like, how could you look at that and say, that's a flop? Get out of here, man. The guy got hit in the balls. Any guy out there with balls knows it doesn't have to be a direct shot. You don't even have to hit both. A glancing blow on one of them at any angle, all of it is sensitive, is going to hurt. I totally buy it. Yeah, I do too. And I totally buy that he got legitimately hit in the balls.
Yeah, and if you actually go back and watch it, Kyle Lowry did not try to protect himself on the fall. Guys that flop are not like, I mean, he went down like a stone.
Yeah.
He bounced off the ground. My man was in misery. I like Jason McIntyre. I'm pretty sure that Kyle Lowry, I don't care, and you're right. It can be a glancing blow. It can be a glance at the wrong time, and it still might send me careening to the ground.
Yeah, it's, look, man, and even if you have a cup on, you'll see this in fighting. Guys, even with a cup on, will get hit. And for some reason, it rings, like the ringing sensation on the cup, and it still feels like you're not wearing a cup. So you can't fake it. It's not something you can fake.
Well, the Sixers didn't fake it. They won by 21 last night, 116-95, to take a 2-1 lead in that series. Raptors kind of raptoring right now. Kawhi Leonard is doing what Kawhi Leonard does, which is play great basketball in the playoffs. Kyle Lowry said, I'm not helping him enough. Yes, the phone calls we've been taking over the past 2 hours would indicate, yes, you are not helping him enough with your 7 points on 10 shots and 2 of 10 from the field, not making it to the free throw line once. Two games tonight, Milwaukee-Boston. That's a 1-1 series. I don't know how. I mean, Giannis is the best player in the series, but it's in Boston, and Milwaukee is still kind of experiencing this for the first time, and experiencing the NBA postseason seems to mean a lot. And then the late game is Denver and Portland, and Jeff Schwartz and I talked about this yesterday. Damian Lillard is a really fun player to watch, but this series is a real easy way to make sure you get to bed early, because it's not all that exciting to watch, because Nikola Jokic is a very fundamentally sound basketball player. He's a good passer. He's a good offensive player, but he's not fun to watch.
Yeah.
Like, this is not exactly LeBron James and Kevin Durant, one-on-one in this series right now.
And Denver reminds me a lot of Boston from last year, to where they've got really good players, they're well coached, they're a good team, but they don't have that punch at the end of a game to where if everybody else goes cold, you can rely on a guy to get you a basket or get you a bucket. They don't. If everybody goes cold on Denver, they're just screwed, and they're probably going to lose that game because Portland didn't even play that well in the last game. Portland missed a lot of shots. It wasn't like
Lillard
they
was terrible.
Yeah, Lillard was not good at all, and still Portland won that game, and I didn't feel like at any point, especially late in that game, there was a real threat that Denver was gonna make a run at it. They were just off. They played bad, and they don't have that guy, and that's the difference between Boston this year and last year. They've got Kyrie Irving, so they've got a guy. If everybody else goes cold like they did Game 7 against Cleveland in the Eastern Conference Finals last year, they've got a guy that can get them points and get them a basket whenever they want. Denver doesn't have that.
No. And Lillard's not going to be that bad again. That's the other thing. I also think that Portland's going to be a really good environment. It ought to be a more exciting game just because it's in Portland. Yeah. It's not all that exciting in the Pepsi Center. Like I get that it can be at times. This Denver team's just not exactly flashy. The Milwaukee-Boston matchup will be a good one. And then tomorrow night, finally, they haven't played in about 4 weeks, the Rockets and the Warriors. And we still don't know whether or not James Harden can see. There are varying reports that he's struggling with his vision. It did not look good on Tuesday. We joked yesterday, and we're not the only ones that made this joke, because James Harden is known to flop. Like, if James Harden had been the one that took that deal from Ben Simmons last night, I might have bought into Jason McIntyre's argument a little bit faster.
Oh, yeah.
Because James Harden does have some soccer player in him. He has some football in him. But the red eyes and everything, I buy that James Harden might be screwed up right now.
Yeah, he got the more I look at those pictures when they show, like, he really got dinged. And his whole, but I'm not willing to buy into the, God, I could barely see, and I had one eye, and I had, it was unbelievable what I was able to do. Man, if you couldn't see, you wouldn't have been out there. So I don't buy
better,
that at all.
And he was better afterwards.
Yeah, I don't buy that at all. I understand he took a shot to the face, and his eyes were a little bit red. Throw some Visine in there, make yourself not look like a pothead, and then go out there and just play. But this whole, I couldn't see, there was no way I was coming out. There's no way you're coming out because it's a playoff game and you could see, and he played well enough afterwards. I don't think it's going to be an issue moving forward.
Do you think this series is over? I know all Golden State did was win at home, but 2-0 for some reason when I'm watching these two teams, it feels like exactly what I thought before the season, which is Golden State is still way better than everybody else.
I'm not willing to call it yet, because Golden State has shown in this playoffs that right when you think you got them figured out, they'll come and lay an egg for just no particular reason. I think Houston's much more talented than the LA Clippers were. And this could be just a situation where Golden State takes them much more seriously than they do the LA Clippers. And so they're going to come out and really step on the gas and try and put an end to this early. But if Houston gets this game on Saturday night, I would expect that that's going to be a massive game in Game 4, and that Golden State is going to do whatever they can to get that Game 4, knowing if you're up 3-1, that's a wrap. But if you get a Game 5 and you guys are all set at two games apiece, I nothing would surprise me with how Golden State has played throughout the course of the season.
Yeah, knowing 3-1, unless it's LeBron James, Kyrie Irving in the NBA Finals, and Draymond Green gets suspended. And then you blow a 3-1 lead. And Kevin Durant knows what it's like to blow a 3-1 lead against the Golden State Warriors as well, as he did in Oklahoma City before he actually decided to join the Dubs. So two games tonight, one tomorrow. Joel Embiid, when he plays like he did last night. I mean, Joel Embiid was a lot of fun to watch in this game. He really was. Jimmy Butler starting to show up in the way that you expected him to when they made that acquisition. Low-key, one of the better acquisitions we've seen this year for sure is Tobias Harris. And the Clippers were fine to get rid of him, and then the Clippers started to show a lot of heart after the fact, even though in some ways it felt like they didn't want to make the playoffs so that they would be able to protect that draft pick. Instead, Tobias Harris is making key threes for the Sixers, giving them more spacing. Now they've got a guy, in addition to a J.J. Redick, that can step out and make shots. Really, the only offensive liability for them is Ben Simmons. If the offense can run through Simmons where he doesn't have to be the guy creating offense for himself,
The Sixers are just as dangerous as anybody else in the East.
It's why the Sixers and the future in Philly is so fascinating, because you've got, obviously, Embiid, Simmons, Butler, and Tobias Harris. Gut feeling, they decide to stick with Tobias Harris, and I think they let Jimmy Butler walk. And mm-hmm. then you just see what you do with Simmons and Embiid, because the reality is when Embiid's not on the floor, Ben Simmons plays better. The numbers are there. He looks like a more confident player. He shows a better offensive skill set. And you just wonder, these guys, the difference between Philly and, say, a Boston back in the day that formed a big three, or Miami when LeBron and D-Wade and Bosch got together, all these guys are still young in their careers and all want to showcase that they can go out and be superstars on their own right. And so I'm not willing to say this is going to be a dynasty in Philadelphia, that all these guys are going to stay together, because I think at some point or another, the egos are going to come into play. They're not veteran players like they were in Boston or Miami, who had individual success and were all about the team. I think they're a fascinating watch moving forward, because they got decisions to make after this season, and it could dictate how the franchise moves forward.
And the other thing is, when you talk about those other teams, those stars complemented one another yeah. on the floor. Mm-hmm. Embiid and Simmons do not. The spacing that Embiid creates actually hinders Ben Simmons' game and the way that you want to see him play basketball. That's why you're absolutely right. When Simmons is on the floor without Embiid, when he missed those games, all of a sudden Ben Simmons looked like, oh, he can take over a basketball game. In a lot of ways, he can find shooters on the perimeter. They've got a great set of ball movement, and it seems like the ball does stop a lot when it gets into 21's hands. And that's not a bad thing, because he's the best player on your team. I just think that eventually, Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid are not going to play very long together.
No.
I just feel like Simmons is going to eventually go, because you have to back Embiid unless he just completely falls apart physically, which, unfortunately, that's always going to be in the back of everybody's mind.
And you know what? It's a real conversation to have, because if you're Philadelphia, you're in a tough spot, because you can say, all right, if we've got to pick one of these guys, who do we side? Well, let's go with Joel Embiid. Look at his career. Look at his numbers. Okay, but look at his health. Like, that yeah. could go at any time, and then you've got bigger issues. He's already missed a chunk of his career due to injury. Something always seems to pop up. I mean, he's in his mid-20s. He's got tendonitis. It seems like it's chronic at this point. It's the same thing with Todd Gurley. I mean, look, when you're 24, 25 years old, and they're talking about, you know, an arthritic knee, got kind of a problem here. Like, I don't know what the future is going to look like. And then if you decide, all right, we don't trust Embiid's health, let's trust Ben Simmons. All right, well, it's a shooter's league, and he can't do that. So then you're kind of in this awkward scenario where you're not really sure which way to go. You'd love to have both of them, but are you a better team if they're both on your team, and are you getting the most out of each guy? And I think that's why, as I mentioned, it's going to be fascinating to see how they build that roster as they move forward in these guys' careers.
It is, and they have a 2-1 lead right now over the Toronto Raptors after they won last night by 21. Kawhi Leonard showed up, Siakam had a decent game, and that was about it, even though the plus-minus ratings were not good for anybody wearing a Raptors uniform. But I'm not going after Kawhi. That guy's playing his guts out right now, and Lowry even said, I'm not helping him enough. I don't know if it was last year or 2 years ago. I think it was 2 years ago when Lowry was bad in the playoffs. There was that report of him being in a gym alone
yeah.
at 1 a.m., yeah. I wonder if that's what happened last night, too. Like, I mean, I think Lowry's a really good guy and a great competitor, but him and DeRozan together seem to be toxic because they both seemed allergic to winning. And it seems like separately, they're also kind of allergic to winning. Not that the Spurs were loaded, but this Raptors team should not be getting blown out by 20 by anybody. When you've got all-stars on there.
Yeah, I think it's a mental thing. Outside of getting hit in the balls, that's not a mental thing. That's a real physical issue that you've got to deal with, guys out there. And look, anybody listening, guys right now listening to this, I don't know what the numbers are, but I can assure you at least one of you listening to this show right now on Fox Sports Radio across the country and overseas on the iHeartRadio app, you're going to get hit in the balls today. And you're going to think back to this conversation and you're going to go, now I know what it's going to be like to be Kyle Lowry in a playoff game. But Kyle Lowry, it's clearly a mental thing. I mean, when you're shooting baskets afterwards, we've seen athletes that get the yips before, whether it's Rick Ankiel, John Lester of the Cubs can't throw a ball to first base. Like, there's certain guys that just go through these things. Markelle Fultz. Markelle Fultz yeah. got the yips and could not physically shoot a free throw. He looked like a T-Rex trying to shampoo his head at the foul line. line. And it just, and you can't figure out why. And they're trying to change things and they're throwing off their routine. It is so a mental thing with Kyle Lowry. He's a good enough player during the regular season. He should be good enough in the postseason. And for some reason, he just can't get it together.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Clay's back on Monday. I'm Jason Martin, joined by Jonas Knox. We bring in John Morosi, who I haven't talked to in a long time. He's on Twitter, at John Morosi. John, how are you this morning?
Jason, Jonas, good morning. Love this time of year, my friends, with the NHL and NBA playoffs going on. And, of course, baseball season rolling around. So it is a fantastic time of year.
Well, I'm in Nashville, so we're not talking about the NHL in this city.
All right, I will hold my discussions there, guys. I'm sorry about that.
No. I'm not. I'm totally kidding. Can we talk about, unfortunately for the Cleveland Indians, Corey Kluber taking a 102.9 mile an hour fastball, injuring his arm. He's out indefinitely. There's going to be a prognosis released today. How do you handle this if you're Cleveland losing your ace? Maybe you go get Keuchel. Maybe you go get the pitcher out of Toronto, the young guy there. There are some options, but you just don't replace a guy as good as Kluber, right?
Well, you're very right. And this, to me, is a potential watershed moment in the American League Central, not just for this year, but maybe for years to come. Remember, going back to the wintertime, the Indians had tried to trade Kluber on a couple different occasions. The Padres had been one possible landing spot, maybe the Brewers as well. So there had been some conversation about this, and of course they couldn't come to a deal. It comes to spring training as the Indians are trying to really reshape their roster and where they're going for the future, maybe get a little bit, bring the payroll down a bit. Their attendance has struggled here in recent years. And now this happens. So now not only do you not have Kluber at his best, and by the way, his ERA was above 5 before the injury happened, now potentially you don't have him now, and also your future traded asset is diminishing in its value. So this is really a difficult bit of news for the Indians in a couple different directions. And they're starting pitching depth at the upper minors. The whole reason why they were trying to move Kluber in the wintertime and bring back multiple pieces back that would help them in the future, their minor league depth at the upper end of the minors just simply is not there in the pitching area. That they may have Jeffrey Rodriguez come in. Of course, they had obtained him for Yan Gomes in the wintertime, but he's really a young guy who has not yet really established himself at the major league level, and then they may have to call on Asher Wojciechowski. But the bottom line is, guys, the options at AAA are not good. I don't really see them spending the money to get Dallas Keuchel. That would be a pretty dramatic change in the way they've been doing business here lately. So, guys, they're stuck, and given the way that their front office has approached things lately, I'm not seeing the likelihood of a trade for Marcus Stroman, as you mentioned there with Toronto, or signing Keuchel. Is just not, it's not been a very aggressive front office right now from a spending standpoint, and I don't see that changing here in the coming days.
John, Bryce Harper got booed earlier this week. Smash Mouth, of all people, have come out to try and defend him. Bryce Harper knew what he was getting into going to Philadelphia. I don't know that he cares. Washington, you're not going to get booed. You're going to run through slumps. But when you look at just the trajectory of his career, from the great year that he had to the player that he is now, what's reasonable really to expect from this guy? He's got a lot of baseball left in his tank, but he does seem to go on some very, very prolonged slumps, which could, of course, be exacerbated in that media market.
Well, that's an excellent point. And to me, if you're a Phillies fan or a baseball fan who is stunned by Harper's performance over the last month or so, I'm afraid that you probably weren't paying especially close attention to him when he was in Washington, because he has had months like this before. And even if you look at his overall OPS, he's not even that far off of where he was for the full season last year. Now, his start in Washington was better last year. His OPS was better than 1,000. Now it's basically right around the lower 800 mark. So for the month of April and early part of May, first 30 games. So in that respect, it is a little bit of a diminishment from what it was last year. He still has had some flashes. There was a game in Colorado earlier in April where he got 5 hits, and 4 of them were either to center field or the opposite field. that's what he's got to do. And I'm no hitting coach, but it sure seems to me that he's better and he's best when he's using the whole field. And whether he's pull happy because he wants to, you know, please the fans in Philadelphia by hitting home runs there, or if he's really entranced by the right field dimensions there at Citizens Bank Park and he wants to try to take advantage of that and hit as many homers as he can, whatever the reasons are, that the approach probably needs to change here this weekend against his old club. So there's a lot of really great storylines here, but he's going to have to find a way, I think, to just use the whole field again. Now, I'll give him this this credit, though. He has done a very good job of diffusing any sort of media issues around him. We saw Jake Arrieta made the comments recently about, well, it's important for Bryce to stay in the game and not get ejected. And Bryce said, yeah, Jake's right. I agree with that. And then this week he was booed. He was asked about that at home. And he said, yeah, I would boo me too. This is excellent. This is like media relations course A+ for Harper.
Yeah.
He did a great job of not fanning the flames there with any sort of media issues. And so I give Bryce a lot of credit for that.
He is John Paul Morosi at Fox Sports MLB Insider, Fox Sports Radio MLB Insider, also with the MLB Network, joining us here on Outkick the Coverage. Jonas Knox, Jason Martin filling in for Clay Travis. JP, I have sort of a general Major League Baseball question for you. I've been on the air a couple of times here at Fox Sports Radio. One of them was during, I think it was the 18-inning extra inning game that we saw between the Giants and the Rockies. The other one was last Sunday night. There was a 15 or a 16-inning game that the Cubs were involved in. At what point has Major League Baseball seriously considered, because I know they've thrown this out there and there's been sort of an experiment, but when it's this early in the season and you've got teams gutting their bullpens just to fill out an extra inning game that goes on significantly longer than a normal game, will we see Major League Baseball adjust similar to how the NHL did, to where they reduced the overtime period, they put it to shootouts, you still get a point? I know they can't give the point system in Major League Baseball, but can they do something to where these teams aren't eating up their bullpen for a game in April?
Well, Jonas, it's a great question, and it's a great topic, and to me, I don't see it happening imminently, but at the very least, it's now being tried at the minor league levels, and we saw it tried in the World Baseball Classic. I think it works very well, especially in the regular season. The playoffs, to me, much like playoff hockey, it's a different situation.
Agreed.
Stance. But regular season, what you do not want to damage your chances to win for several days by taxing a young pitcher for longer than you want him to pitch. It becomes a player safety issue. So it's interesting. The players' union, as we're seeing when it comes to bat flips and displays of emotion with Tim Anderson and other cases this year, the union is not a monolithic organization. It's got a lot of diverse opinions, and there are probably some traditionalists among the union who simply would not want to have anything like that tiebreaker thing where you maybe start the 10th inning or 11th with men on second and third or first and second and nobody out, and then you play from there. I'm a fan of it, though. I think just to find a way to it speeds the game up. I think it's better for player safety. It's more entertaining for the fans, and it doesn't really take a huge skewing of the way that games are decided. And now we're going to see next year, and this is where maybe it'll get delayed a bit in terms of being implemented as a possible idea. We're going to see the change next year in relievers having to face the full three hitters as opposed to the one. That, to me, could bring about a little more of a more rapid conclusion in some cases to the games. But it's going to be interesting to me to see what happens, because you're going to have players that look at this and say, listen, this actually can help us stay healthier if we end the game sooner, and then we get a chance to come back and play the next day anyway. So what's the harm in that? Not that you ever want to dismiss the importance of one major league game, but I do think it's important to keep the big picture in mind, and player health is a huge thing. And so I think if you're talking to the union about it, and it's through that prism of, hey, listen, I'm trying to help your guys not strain an elbow and miss a year if they have Tommy John, we're going to try to be smart about this. Then I think that there's going to be a little more receptiveness, I believe, from the union.
John Paul Morosi with us here on Fox Sports Radio. Last one for me, JP. Who should we worry about right now? I know it's early. I know we've just flipped the calendar the first time in the season. But is there a team that was projected to be better than they were that you look at now and say, this isn't it and it's early problem. This is going to be a year-long struggle.
Well, I'm certainly concerned about Cleveland, and I was even before the Kluber injury, to kind of circle back to something we talked about a few moments ago. But I would say this. The Oakland Athletics are a team that made the playoffs last year, and we saw them creatively adapt their rotation as the year went along last year. And I'm just not seeing the same thing happen right now. Although, I will say this. Check the news headlines. It's a true story. They're calling up a player who arguably has one of the best five names in the history of Major League Baseball. His name is Skye Bolt. S-K-Y-E Bolt, as in Usain Bolt. That's his name. He is a switch-hitting outfielder, and I wear no athletic jerseys or anything like that, but I want to go out and buy a Skye Bolt jersey and just feel cool by putting it on. So the A's, I'm worried about their rotation. It's not quite coming together in the same way that it did last year. But on the flip side, they're calling up one of my new favorite players, who I've never even seen play before. But I'm just excited about the name, and I think he's got a chance to be a sensation there in the Bay Area. Skye Bolt, S K Y E Bolt.
Great name.
Remember the name. Buy the jersey. Great for baseball, and hopefully a nice jolt there for the struggling Oakland Athletics.
John, we love you, man. You're the best. We'll let you get to the remainder of your day. We'll get you some hockey questions going forward. I was kidding about the Predators. Enjoy the day,
buddy. I know. I feel bad for the Preds. I feel bad for the Vegas Golden Knights. A lot of hard feelings still there, but a great Western Conference final happened now, or should be, with two different semis at two games apiece. So very, very competitive playoffs here so far, my friends.
All right, JP, we'll see you soon. He's at John Morosi on Twitter. That's JonMorosi. He is really smart.
He's awesome.
He makes up for the lack of intelligence of the two of us and everybody else. Every time you ever hear that guy do an interview, you're just like, man, he is so much smarter than the people he is talking to. There's a few guys like that. He's one of them.
And he lives in Ann Arbor. So when I used to talk to JP years and years ago when he first started coming on shows, we would be talking about how bad Michigan football was because it was Grady Hoke and all that stuff, and or Brady Hoke, and we would have these conversations, and it's funny to see how far it's come to where now Harbaugh's there. It's instilled new life in the program. Whatever you feel about Harbaugh, he's at least made him interesting as opposed to where they were when Brady Hoke was coaching them into the ground and they were losing a lot of games there in Ann Arbor.
I was going to ask him about Yelich trading him away and now Derek Jeter having to sit there and send Lewis Brinson, the guy that he got, like the key centerpiece that came back to the Marlins, having to send him to the minors because he can't hit, and then watching Yelich do what Yelich did. That's probably not a good look, but at least you're Derek Jeter. So maybe you don't even care wake up and you remember you're Derek Jeter.
Come on. I mean, look, everybody burns money. They've got something to where after they've done something else, it's like, I already had so much success at this. Who cares what happens here? Oh, so you're Michael Jordan. So you're a really good basketball player. You were crappy as a baseball player. Yeah, nobody cares. It's Derek Jeter. Nobody cares.
Yeah, it's like Magic Johnson, right? Almost the same thing.
That is unfair. Okay, because Magic, he had a really good late night TV. Oh no, he didn't. Well, he had this really good coaching run with the late. No, he didn't do that either. Sorry.
He was a great point guard, though.
Yes, agreed.
Tremendous, tremendous at that. Somebody that is multi talented is Eddie Garcia. Let's go to him one more time before we finish up and close up shop for the week. Find out what happened last night in the world of sports and get the latest. Eddie, what do you got for us?
Well, we had three playoff games. We will start in the NBA, where the 76ers beat the Raptors 116-95 to take a 2-1 series lead. Joel Embiid had 33 points for Philadelphia. He was one of six players on the Sixers in double digits, including all five of their starters. Kawhi Leonard, 33 points in the loss for Toronto. NHL Stanley Cup playoffs, the Bruins beat the Blue Jackets in Columbus 4-1. Patrice Bergeron had a pair of goals. Tuukka Rask, 39 saves in net, as Boston evens that series at 2-2. Avalanche shut out the Sharks 3-0. Philip Grubauer, 33 series. He saves the net for his first career playoff shutout for Colorado as they even up that series at 2 games apiece as well. In Major League Baseball, the Nationals beat the Cardinals 2-1. Washington starter Steven Strasburg struck out 9. He reaches 1,500 strikeouts and the fewest innings pitched in Major League history in the process. I want to remind you that online car shopping can be confusing, but not anymore with True Price from True Car. Now you can know the exact price you'll pay for your next car, so visit True Car and enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Also, the St. Louis Blues host the Dallas Stars at 9:30 Eastern tonight. It's our Discover Card Key matchup. Discover alerts you if they find your social security number on thousands of risky websites. It's free for card members. Just sign up online at discover.com/free alerts. Limitations apply. We'll be back to Outkick the Coverage in 10 seconds, but first, a word from Farmers.
At Farmers Insurance, we know a roof can withstand a lot. One exception being an airborne car. Seen it, covered it. Talk to Farmers.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Underwritten by Farmers Truck Fire Insurance, exchanges and affiliates. Products not available in every state.
Now back to Jason Martin and Jonas Knox in the Geico Outkick the Coverage studios.
Thank you, Eddie. We are coming to you live from those Geico Outkick studios. Great news. There is a quick and an easy way you could save money. Just switch to Geico. It only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com. And see how much you could save. Finishing up here in the next segment, Clay Travis back on Monday, and then he'll be out again on Wednesday. I don't know. Maybe he's going to take a one-day trip to Spain and come back, but I'll be back in. I have no idea. I guess I need to unmute him or ask him why he's making trips, because I always just hear from our boss. It's just like, hey, do you want to fill in on X day? But I never really know why. Maybe I should take the time to figure out the backstories of these situations. Like, Clay goes to London Thursday, Friday, and he's back here on Monday. Like, that is a quick trip for a long flight two ways.
Yeah. What is that for? If the flight time is longer than the actual trip, it's kind of a waste of time.
Speaking of a waste of time, we joked about this the last time you and I were filling in. We talked about the AAF, and we talked about how CBS in particular, and boy, did they have a reason for this, doing power rankings for AAF teams. And we just laughed ourselves stupid about it. It's like, yeah, No, you're not going to make us believe this is a thing. And I said it wasn't going to last, and it hasn't. How bad is this story going to get? We got a dude that's potentially going to jail for 70 years for fraud. We've got people that are basically living in Maytag boxes because their stuff was thrown out of hotels. Like, this sounds like an utter unmitigated disaster. And the only thing I think of is, hey, Vince, meaning McMahon, cut bait now. Oh, you weren't even going to do the XFL until the AAF got into the ring and said that they wanted to try and merge with you. And then that made you think, oh, you think you can do this? Well, I'm going to go back and do this. Don't let your pride get in the way. No one wants to watch mediocre spring football where we recognize three names on a roster. I don't care. No one does. This is not a model that's going to work. I disagree with a lot of people who think we need more football. No, we're not even watching the Arizona Cardinals. You think we're going to watch Steve Spurrier and two dudes on a full roster that we actually could name in a lineup?
Oh, tell me you don't want to go on that Spurrier cruise, though. And I don't even know if that thing is still happening, but get me on the cruise. Covering Steve Spurrier while he was the coach of South Carolina, I can tell you that guy's fun. When a coach shows up bombed to his own coach's show that he does locally there, you know that guy's a good time. So get me on the Spurrier cruise. And Vince McMahon, there's no better time to strike than now, because no matter what the XFL is, it's going to be better than the AAF. They've seen where the AAF has struck out. They've seen where the AAF has screwed up. There's already reportedly TV deals done, all buttoned up, all ready to go. And then if you're Vince McMahon and you're the XFL, you bring in guys like Kaepernick, Manziel, who knows, Jamarcus Russell, if Stoney Case is still floating around out there.
Nice.
Bring in some of these legends from the past. I am all in on the XFL. I want it back. Yeah. I'm in.
I don't believe you for a second.
That's true.
You just want to see the world burn.
No, I just want something to talk about during the offseason. That's all I want.
Well, yeah. The more content we have, the better.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.